Hello and welcome to the Spiritual, Intuitive and Holistic Business Circle. My name is Andrea Cowdy and today I'm here with Kerry McGilvray, my partner in this show, and we are talking about doing your thing as a psychic or a healer or as a spiritual practitioner in an online space, a shop or a fair. Hello, Kerry. How are you today?
Hi. Hi, everyone. I'm very good, thank you. Very excited. We just had our first in-person meetup this morning. That was quite fun. I'm really glad that we've started those as well. So for anyone who missed out today, by all means, come and join us next month. And you'll see the link below at some point.
Yes, we will post it. But it's on the first Tuesday of every month in Campbelltown at the Meditation Teaching Centre. So make sure that you stay tuned. We'll tell you exactly where it is and when it is at the end of the show. So for those of you who are watching, thanks for coming. Please feel free to share this post with your friends as we are live at the moment so they can join the broadcast as well. Let us know where you are watching from, whether it's your lunchtime today or you sneak in between two meetings in the office, or maybe you are actually working from home and you set yourself some time away for this. In any case, if you're sitting there watching us coming. So Kerry, you've been working as a psychic for a while now, and you've pretty much touched on all the spaces that we are talking about today, like shops and fairs and online readings. So these are the most common ways that psychics or healers, spiritual people, deliver their services to the people that they are connected with. So how does someone know which one they should be doing? Let's talk about what the differences are between those.
Okay,
three.
So ultimately it needs to be what you're comfortable with. So that's the first piece of advice. So yes, I've done all three, and when I first started, I only did online, all right? And it took me a little while to build up to go to a shop, and then a little while again to build up and go to a fair. And what I did was I actually went to really small fairs first. So they're like little tiny market days, they're usually called, where there's like 10 storeholders and, you know, five psychics, and they're really tiny. And that way I kind of dipped my foot in the water with doing the whole people come to pay me to do this, right, and actually want it face-to-face. So I found that it was my way to get my face out and about, because while I was present online and I had a decent following and you know, client base online, I knew that eventually if I wanted to grow and get anywhere, I needed to see people in person. So I didn't have a space at home at that particular time, so fairs and shops were the way to go, because it meant that I didn't need to bring anyone home, or I didn't have to drive to their place. The other way that some people do it too is they do like a party. So I know that we haven't mentioned that here, but some psychics do, you know, like when they used to have Tupperware parties, you know, everyone turns up and everyone gets a reading and all that kind of jazz. So that's another way to do it. They can host like a high tea at their house, and then that way you don't have to have a physical space to do all that and have someone come to you. Mm. So when first starting out, I found online was the absolute easiest. And for me, I did that via Messenger, and that was because realistically it was the lowest cost point for me, and it meant that I could get started straight away and build my confidence before I started doing face-to-face. And it also meant I didn't need that physical space. So it had a lot of win-wins for me. Slowly then I progressed into the shops and fairs space. I think I hit fairs before I actually went into the shops. So I jumped straight in, because that's just me. So I went to fairs and I thought I'd test it out, because like I said, the smaller markets are a good way to start out. You don't get as many readings, which is okay, because you're just kind of building your confidence, right? And then I progressed to the much bigger fairs where they get, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people through the door. So it's just about kind of building yourself up. And so if you're just starting out, I would definitely recommend that the online space is where you should try first. And even if you're a healer, like a lot of healers don't need a physical space to do that. A lot of us do it via distance. And so that's all online. So you don't really need to be in an actual physical location. We get tied up thinking that our business has to have a physical location because that's what's, when we grow up, that's what businesses have. They have a physical bricks and mortar location. And if people want to buy from you, that's where they go. But, things have changed so much since then that online is a much more acceptable practice. So definitely, if you're only a startup, I would definitely start with online and then progress through to whatever makes you feel comfortable, right? It's got to scare you just a little bit, right? In order to grow, but you've got to be comfortable.
So when there's a lot of people are doing psychic development, and they are all encouraged to do get out there and start doing readings and healings and having sessions with people. So you're right, the online space is somewhere where they don't have to pay rent. Like if you go to a shop, you'll pay a percentage of your intake to the shop. If you rent a table at a psychic fair, you will have to outlay some money in advance before you even have some income from readings that come in during the day. You have to outlay the money to actually book your table. So when you do online readings, whether that is through platforms like Skype or Zoom, or even if you do FaceTime, there really is no outlay other than the equipment that you most likely already have, which is either a phone with a good camera or a laptop or a PC with a webcam. So yeah, and there's really no huge tech stuff that you need to know to be able to operate any of those things. So this is probably why it's more attractive to people who are just starting out at
It
first
is. And I started out.
building up their portfolio.
And I did them via Messenger too. So you don't actually have to do them face to face online either. And for me, that was more about it allowed me the opportunity to get everything out, all the information that I was getting out before I was interrupted, if that makes sense. So when I was kind of working it all out, I'm much better at kind of navigating that now when I'm face to face. But what I found when I was starting out is the face to face can sometimes lose the channel, because you'll be blurting out all your information and they may stop you halfway through and ask the question. And then you haven't got all the information that you needed to get out. And that may have answered the question, but now that's gone. So,
Yeah, there's
it can
new
sometimes.
questions coming in.
That's right. And it can sometimes stop the channel. So I actually really loved the whole Messenger thing because I could type it all out, regardless of the fact if they've asked a question, because I could just keep typing and then send it and then look at the question that they asked. And for a lot of the time, the answer would already be in what I was typing. But it gave me a way to not be interrupted or cut off in that particular energy flow. So, and you
It's
touched on
totally different
something.
to a face-to-face reading.
Absolutely, it's a completely different ball game. And shops, when we're talking about shops and we're talking about the outlay of shops and fairs and things like that, shops will take anywhere from 30 to 40% of the reading. So, for example, if they charge $60 for half an hour, if you're lucky, you take home $40 of that. If you're not, you take home a little bit less, right? So then, great. It's a great opportunity. It's a great way to get there. And a lot of the time, they've got to obviously make money too, because otherwise, what's the point in offering that service? So you just got to make sure that you're acceptable with the amount that they take and that it's agreed upon. All right. Fairs, like you said, you've got to outlay the cost of the stall. Now, there's two different ways that you can go into a fair. You can go into a fair in a reading room, and you can go into a fair as, like, if you've got other products you might also have on that table, right? So there's two different ways you can go in. Now, one of the things that I have learned about the fairs is that you want to make sure if you are going to go in as a reader, you want to make sure that there's, 10 or less readers at a particular fair. If you go into a fair, and I've done this in the past, I went into a fair once and they had 32 readers. 32 readers. They did not have enough people to come through that door to book all those readers. So basically, what happened was I sat there and watched people go home because they got no readings. So when you are looking at what fair is a good one to go to or what marketplace is, you want a place that actually really limits the number of readers that they have. And you do that because that way everyone gets a really good opportunity to service a lot of people and keeps everyone busy, right? So everybody goes home happy. There's no use bringing in 30 readers and, pissing off 20 of them because only 10 of them got readings, right? All you're doing is collecting cash, right? So that's not the kind of environment that you want to be in when you're trying to start out and get into the right space. The other thing with fairs is that some fairs will take a tiny, like you pay for your table, which can range anywhere from like a, say, for example, $120 to 160 roughly, somewhere in there because they're all different. So it usually ranges in there. There's really small marketplaces. Sometimes you can get a table for under $100, which is awesome. But you also got to remember that you have a lot less clients. Okay, so that's why you pay the little bit bigger dollars for the ones that have the bigger marketing budget and can get people through the door. But those particular fairs, if they take all the payments, sometimes they might take, maybe $5 a reading if they're processing everything via FPOS and they're managing all the booking system, right? Which is quite fair, I feel, because it means that as a reader, you then don't have to worry about the cash. It's all paid for. You just need to worry about servicing your client. And then there's other fairs that, don't charge anything for that, but they make you take all the money, which is fine as well. You know what I mean? It's just what you're comfortable with. The only difference is that if you're the one who has to take all the money, and we this came up this morning for us, is you need to be okay with accepting money, right? So you need to be comfortable to ask for your money because you can't let them walk away having not paid you. So that's one of the things that you need to be wary of if you have to take the cash, is that you need to be comfortable asking for them to pay it. So I usually ask for it up front because I get in the zone sometimes, which is quite high vibe, right? And we've talked about, the high and low vibe. Because I get in that high vibe zone, it's so easy for me to forget at the end of a reading to ask for money. So I do it at the beginning so that then if I've forgotten at the end, it doesn't matter, right? So I always ask for it up front. And then that way it's done, it's sorted, it's out of the way, and everyone can concentrate on the reading itself. So,
I think that applies to wherever you do your readings, whether you do it in a shop or you online or in person. Always take the money first. Don't
yes.
leave it till after the reading. Take the money first because, that exchange needs to happen. However, where you feel comfortable, especially if you have an online booking system where people can book themselves in and then pay at the same time. They don't get a booking
Absolutely.
unless they pay. Because how
Absolutely.
many times has it happened that someone rings you up and goes, "Can I have an appointment on whatever day at whatever time?" And you book them in, and then they don't turn up. They don't ring. They don't turn up, and then you lost your money because you could have booked in someone else who would have paid then and there.
That's right.
So this is always a good idea, however you do it, to take their money to make sure that they turn up, because then your clients or your sitters have that
They're interested.
accountability. That it's on them. If they haven't paid you for the time that they booked, then if they change their mind or if whatever comes up, they can just go, "Oh, I haven't paid for it, so I won't bother."
Yeah.
Of
And so
course,
they
there are often
become.
legitimate reasons why readings get cancelled, but and in which case, it's at your discretion whether you want to refund the money or not. But, you know, good luck trying to chase someone who has no intention of ever paying you for an appointment that they didn't turn up to.
So that's right.
It's just a little tidbit of side information.
Absolutely. And it's so much more acceptable these days to accept payment beforehand. You know, like you touched on the online booking system. Like I have one now and I wish I had it years ago, because I used to do the whole backwards and forwards, and I'd get them to deposit money into my bank account, and then I'd have to wait for 2 days because I'd been burnt before. So I wouldn't book them in until it had cleared into my account. So there's 2 days where you're waiting, going backwards and forwards between clients, and it takes up a lot of time, and it's not a nice experience.
It does.
Right? So people are just used to paying now. They're used to paying for it at the time of the booking. So, you know, you may as well just do that as part of your online booking system. And, and if there's one thing that I can say to people that I wish I had so much earlier, it's that. It's an online booking system, 100%.
Okay, so we've got, looks like we've got a lot of people here from Victoria today. So thank you for watching from Victoria. I hope the weather over there is nicer than here in Sydney, because it's just, it can't make up its mind whether it's rainy or sunny. So hope is better for you there. Now, Lisa Marie is asking, can you do online parties?
Absolutely.
So instead of giving a one-on-one readings, can you do online parties? And I've seen other people do that. I've seen psychics do it where they get on Zoom. And on Zoom, you can just send the link to whoever you want to have the party with, and they can all just click on the link. It comes up on their computer, and it's like an online meet-up, get-together kind of thing.
Yeah, so you can totally do that. And I've done it before in, I didn't call it a party, but I had like a group of people that I did readings for in a group setting, and exactly the same thing. It was on Zoom. You know, you had that 8 or 10 people there. They were all there, and, you know, everyone had their turn, and you just went through, and away you go. It meant that everyone could be in their PJs. Everyone could have their cuppa or whatever they wanted, or, you know, they could didn't have to leave the house and worry about who was going to watch the kids and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So it's perfect. These days it really is perfect.
Okay, so we've got some people here from Queensland and even from, well, Heidi, thanks for watching. I have no idea what time it is over there, but I know that the time difference is huge. So if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, thanks for watching.
Hi. Washington, USA. Nice.
So you spoke a little bit about some of the things that people need to look out for when they commit to doing readings in a shop or in a fair, and you touched on making sure that you know what you're in for. So what I'd like to add to that is to make sure that you have an agreement, you know, that you have it in writing. Whether it's a shop that you're engaged with as a reader or fairs, they would have some sort of paperwork to give you that will state the terms and conditions of the hiring of the space, or just the interaction between you and the organisers for the fair. And it would also state the fee structure. So make sure that you check that out and see whether that is something that is worth it for you.
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
And Kerry was... You were talking about how sometimes fairs just get too many people in and there aren't enough people who are after readings. And I'm not exactly sure how this works right now, but I think you used to be able to market yourself and go, I'm doing readings at such and such a fair, you know, come and book in with me, or, you know, just make a booking through the fair's booking system. So that is always a good idea to use it as an additional marketing tool for you, because especially if you are reading, if you are just starting out with reading at fairs, people may not know, or your clients may not know that you're reading at fairs now. So letting your people know that where you're going to be and what you're going to be doing is a really good idea, because if they don't have access to you online for whatever reason, then they can come and book in with you at the fair. But if you just book a table at a fair in a reading room and then wait for clients or for people to turn up, the chances are that those readers who have been doing this for a long time and have got their regular clients who know when the reader is going to be and where, you know, what club or, you know, wherever, yeah, then they will get their regular clients. And they, those people will not book with you because they don't know you. So yes, the more people and know you and where you are and how you're reading and all that, the more chances are that you're going to actually get some people to come and get readings from you at theirs.
And you know, so, what you need to, yeah, be totally, you need to be totally okay with the fact that when you're at a shop or a fair, that people don't know you, right? Because just because people know you online, you know, you may go to a fair and there might be five other readers who, you know, have been going to these fairs for 10 years. And, you know, every time they're in that particular fair space, the same people come. So there's a good chance that when that happens and you're new in the fair arena, that you're going to get the ones who can't get into everyone else. And that's okay, right? Because they obviously can't get into the others because they're meant to see you, right? So you need to be okay with that, but at the same time, don't get offended that the chances are you're going to pick up the ones that they can't get into anywhere else, because people come to
exactly
and, you know, a lot of the time, if they can't get into who they want to see, they will see someone else, and it doesn't matter that you're not the first choice because they're going to see you because they need to see you. You know, their first choice was obviously taken for a reason. So you need to just make sure that you understand that that's how it works and don't get offended by that. You know, I think my very first fair, and it was the fair that had 30 people, right, I had no idea what to charge, right? And this is something that we need to discuss today too, right? So I had no idea what to charge. They said you could charge whatever you like. So I'm like, okay, I've never paid for a reading at a fair before. I'll do $20 for 20 minutes, right? And when I put that sign up, everyone else looked at me as if I was, you know, the devil incarnate, because my price was so low and I had no idea, right? And I had no other pieces of paper, no texts, I couldn't change it, nothing. So I thought, you know what, I'm just going to roll with it. And I know full well people that came to see me were because I was $20, right? Because a lot of people are comfortable with, you know, gambling $20 for someone they don't know. So that's okay. And I was okay because it was all about an experience for me. But it meant that next time round I knew what I needed to be charging. And I learnt that through that experience. But, you know, there were people there that were charging $40 for 10 minutes, $50 for 15 minutes, you know, there was one lady charging $120 for, you know, 15 minutes. And, you know, like when you've got such varied pricing, no wonder I picked up the ones that I did, right? And the ones that were in the mid-range were charging like $40 for 20 minutes or $60 or something. They weren't getting anyone, because that's just what it was. And, you know, I was getting the evil eye because, you know, I was getting people after people, but it was just because of my price, right? So I don't doubt that they were the ones that needed to come to me, but obviously it was because of the way that I had priced myself. And but that's okay. But there's a lot of fairs that they will give you a price range. So some will say that, you know, your readings are either 20 or 25 minutes and your price needs to be within $30 and $50. Or other fairs will go,
they set the price for you.
That's right, which takes a lot of the competition out of it, right? And the accidental pricing too low or too high. The some other fairs price all the readers the same. So they go, nah, it's $50 for 25 minutes. That's just what it is. And they may take their $5 off that and you get $45, right? And that's just how it is. So you just got to check and ask those questions when you are booking.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing.
Exactly. You've got to be informed. You've got to inform yourself and make sure that you've got all these in place. And things that you don't think of, like you just mentioned, the pricing and how you can either outprice yourself or outprice other people. But
Yes,
there's this
absolutely.
whole culture of like these unspoken rules of, you know, if you
Yep.
charge this much, then I charge this much kind of thing. So it's a
And
really good
yeah.
idea to talk to people who have actually been reading at those fairs for a while now to see what their experience is, you know,
Yeah.
what their
Yeah.
experience is with the organizers, also the venues as well, you know,
Yeah.
because some venues work better for fairs and some than other ones, you know. So it's always a good idea, you know, don't think that you doing readings at a fair or at a shop is just about you doing readings. It's all about this other stuff as well that you need to think of and make sure that your best interests are represented.
Yep.
And the values that you hold about your readings and how you work are also represented. And if they aren't, it's okay to say no. It's okay to go, I don't think this is the right space for me, or I don't think this is the right venue for me. You know, it's okay to say that. It's
Yeah, you don't
perfectly
have to do them
okay.
all. The other thing that you do need to
Exactly.
keep in mind as well for the shops and fairs is most fairs will ask you if you have public liability insurance. So that's another
Yes.
additional cost that you will need to outlay before you can actually attend a fair, and they will ask for a copy of that before they can actually allow you in, because they've got to obviously cover their butt. And you know, there's only so many people that will give psychics or healers public liability insurance based on our modalities that we use. So you need to be very wary about who you ask and who you go to. So make sure you do your research about that. And that may mean that
Yes.
you just stay doing online readings for a little bit longer until that's inside the scope of your budget, because that can cost anywhere from $150 to $300 a year. And that's on, you know, on top of the stall cost and, you know, whatever other costs that you may have. So it's not just a simple, and you've got to pay that every 12 months. So that's something you need to keep in mind. The other thing with shops is most shops will have a contract. They will have like a subcontractor's contract. They treat you as a subcontractor. And in that too, and what I found with most shops is that while yes, you need to still market yourself, you can't
You
market
do, you
yourself.
do. And
Yeah.
yeah, and we're just getting to the next point in our agenda is that you need to market yourself. And
But before
Jean
we do that,
from Grand Junction from Colorado, USA, I hope I said that right. Is saying that this is really useful because he's just at the beginning of his learning to do readings and all that. So
perfect.
yeah, thanks for watching.
Thank you. So
And
if you're
yeah,
in the
definitely. These
States,
are things that anyone starting out in doing readings and just offering psychic services need to know. I don't know how it is liability insurance wise in the US, but I'm guessing
yeah,
that you guys would have something going
similar.
there as well that you would need to,
Yeah, so make sure you ask that
especially.
question,
So
especially if you're not in Australia. The other thing with shops, what I wanted to touch on before we do the market yourself, is that most shops won't allow you to have your own business cards within their shop. So if you are talking to a client, you are representing that shop. So it's not about you giving out your business cards. You need to give out the shop business card with your name on the back. All right, because they get very funny about, you know, they don't like readers or healers coming into their shop to take their clients. So they get a bit funny about that, and that's part of the contract. You're not allowed to market yourself and hand out your own business cards within a shop, because while you're in the shop, even though you are a subcontractor, you are a representative of their team, and you need to be referring them back to that team. So that's something that you do need to be aware of. But it doesn't mean that you can't market to your online community and saying, hey, I'm going to be at this shop or this fair, come on down. When you're at a fair, it's perfectly okay to have your own business cards. Not an issue whatsoever, because that's what it's all about at the fair. But at the shop, you need to be very, very clear. And if you're unsure, ask. Don't just start handing out cards and promotional stuff. because they will get very upset with you and most likely kick you out. Right?
Yeah. Definitely. I think what I find with a lot of practitioners who work out of shops is there's a big turnover to start with. You know, you would see a practitioner at this shop and then, you know, 6 months later they're working out of a different shop. To me, that's a little bit like that's for me, that's a no-go zone. I need some sort of a consistency and stability. But other than that, I find that they're not marketing themselves. They are completely relying on the shop bringing in the customers. And this is a big, big mistake because essentially you're using the shop as a venue. It's not the shop's job to sell your reading services. It's your job to sell your reading services. So if you're hiring a space at a shop and you don't do any marketing and then you complain that you're not getting any clients from this shop and then you go and work at the next one to see if they can rustle up more clients for you, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. They might get walk-ins, but essentially you need to market yourself as a person. The shop has no liability or no responsibility or accountability whatsoever to get your clients.
No, not at all.
In that way. So yeah, that's your job. That's your job to get your bookings in. So instead of changing shops or venues, maybe you need to look at changing up your marketing strategy. And it's okay to, you know, put it out there to go, hey guys, I've got two or three spaces left on whatever date at whatever space I'm gonna be in. So who wants to book in with me? You know, do it on your Facebook page, your Twitter, you know, wherever you talk to your clients. So this sort of arrangement does not absolve you of your marketing responsibilities.
And the other thing that you want to ask. Sorry, just quickly on that topic about the shops. Just before we get to Natasha, it's usually okay to work at multiple shops, but I would always suggest that you ask. Because some shops don't like it, okay? Some want you to be there exclusively and don't like it if you go to others because they're and this all comes back to that lack mindset that we talk about and that whole competition game in the spiritual industry. But when they see that you're at more than one shop, they worry that if you pick up a really good client at their shop, that they're going to leave their shop and go to another shop to see you. So that's why they get a bit funny about you being at multiple shops. So if you're already at multiple shops, you need to let them know when you go somewhere else to read there that you're at these other shops. Is that okay? Is that a problem? Yes. That's just, sorry. Now, what did Natasha say?
Transparency is important. Natasha, absolutely. She's just wondering, are we offering a reading or teaching others how to market, which is great advice?
So we're
not sure whether you're asking a question.
Yeah, so we're not doing any readings today, obviously, but we're teaching others who want to work in that space what they need to consider and how to kind of branch out and expand and the things to look out for. Because obviously both of us have done this for a very long time and it's time to share that knowledge and wealth around. All right. So that's what this is all about.
I think there's a lot of sort of knowledge hoarding in the spiritual space. Where people, you know, people want to keep the knowledge to themselves, or the juicy stuff anyway. You know, quite happy to teach and share all the surface stuff, but when it comes to all the juicy stuff, that the stuff that can actually make an impact and a massive difference, that's when people aren't really sharing. And Kerry and I want to change that. We want to create spaces online and offline where people can get together and share that knowledge that, you know, anyone learned from their business, because we all have unique wisdom and experience. And when we are that open and transparent to share, that's when communities are built. When people are closed off and they are hoarding the knowledge and go, I'm not going to share this with you just in case you're going to use it to be more successful than I am, then that's really not in the space, in the spirit of spirit, right? Spirituality. But unfortunately, this sort of mindset and behavior is very prevalent in the psychic community.
Yes.
Which is a bit of a shame. Julie Marie's asking whether you're going to do readings today.
No readings today,
or during this broadcast. No, this is a show where we talk about spiritual spaces and business. There's no live readings on this show. Okay, so you still need to market yourself, regardless of what space you're doing your readings out of, whether that is an online space or offline space like a shop or a fair. As a summary, just make sure that the way you market yourself in relation to doing readings in that particular shop or that particular fair is in line with how they want you to market them as well. Because when you market your readings in a fair, then you're marketing the fair. Love and light to you as well, Natasha. thanks for watching. Thank you all for watching and for bearing with us. This is our third or fourth show, I think.
Fourth, I think.
And today, in particular, we're an hour late because we were running a meetup, an offline meetup in a space, in a meeting space here in Campbelltown in Sydney. So,
and fairs are just another way to market yourself. Fairs are a way to market yourself. So are shops, really. But in saying that, you can only market within that shop, right? So it's just a way to kind of get you known in the industry, like for people to ask for you in that space. And so you can still market yourself as you within that shop. So that's perfectly okay that they've got to come back to that shop to see you. And if you leave, then you need to kind of just leave it at that. You can't go chasing them, but if they find you, you can't stop them from doing that, right? That's just how it works. But fairs are an actual marketing technique. I find that that's, for me, that's what they are. They're an actual marketing technique. They're an avenue to market myself at a much broader audience that are all specifically there for that kind of thing.
I think there's a whole show we could do on that. On fairs and how to use fairs to get yourself out there.
Maybe we should do that later on.
I'm going to put that on the list, along with a bunch of other stuff that just kind of stuck in my brain. Jean is asking, how long did it take you to feel confident enough to market yourself?
Ooh, that's
do you
want to
go
question.
First?
I reckon it probably took me before I went. From when I went from online readings to a fair was probably almost 12 months. It took me about 12 months to kind of feel comfortable enough to actually, and plus then it had to line up with when the fairs were on too, right? So you got to remember that they're only on certain times of the year. So, you know, probably about 6 to 8 months in, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to start doing fairs. So I started looking around and researching and doing all those things, but it took probably 12 months before my first fair, and that's because that's when it was on, right? So I would say probably anywhere from 6 to 12 months is probably a good guide. How about you?
I was doing development for about a year, I think, and there was a practice fair at the college that I was doing my classes at. So I gave that a go. They were unpaid readings.
Yep.
And I gave that a go just to see whether that was my thing. And I wasn't really feeling it. I enjoyed some parts of doing readings for people in a fair environment, but it wasn't really my thing. So it was a while before I actually did another fair. But I started doing private readings, one-on-one readings for people. And I didn't really have to market myself because I had people lining up. As soon as they heard that I was doing this, they were like, oh, can you give me a reading? Can you give me a reading? Can you give me a reading? So I did a bunch of free readings to get my confidence up. And not just that, but to actually create a process for my readings, because a reading isn't just, oh, here's the client, here's me, and let's sit down and let's have a reading. isn't it? It's not like that. It's every reader would have a process, and I had to work out mine. I had to find my feet with it. You know, how did I want a reading to go? What were the things that I would emphasize, and all that sort of stuff. So it was about another year and a half after that before I actually started a Facebook page, because who doesn't, you know. I started a Facebook page, and I started letting people know that I do readings, and I did did readings in shop, I did readings in psychic fair, but you know what, the truth is, at that time, that was before I ever worked with content or marketing. I had no idea what marketing was, or that I could even market myself as a spiritual practitioner. I had no idea. And I'm talking about, you know, maybe 12, 13 years ago, something like that. So it wasn't even a thing when I first started. As far as my view at the time was, and I emphasize at the time, was that, you know, you're a psychic reader. Psychic reader and business don't go together, or psychic reader and marketing don't go together. Obviously, that's changed a lot since then. Actually, it did a complete 180. Yeah. But, you know, times have changed as well, and my knowledge about marketing, and marketing specifically in the spiritual space, has changed a lot. So I suppose, you know, how long did it take to feel confident enough to market yourself? As soon as you feel like you need a bigger challenge than just free readings, then I suppose that is a good prompt that now you're ready to market yourself.
Yeah.
To market yourself for paid readings. So I don't think it's about confidence as such, but knowing that the time has come, that if you want to take this to a new level, like your spiritual practice to a new level, then you need to do things that you're not familiar with and you're not comfortable with. And that's, you know, putting yourself out there as a reader and marketing yourself out as a reader is one of those things.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. I hope that answers your question, Jean. Okay, so as our last point for today, how can you ensure that you're getting a return on your money when you are investing in hiring a space at a shop or a table at a psychic fair? What can you do to get a return on your money?
Okay, so I would recommend that most of the shops that I've worked with only take a cut when you have a reading, so you actually don't hire the room. So the only thing that you're actually out of pocket for the day if you don't have any readings is your time, which is a good way to do it.
Mm.
But at the same time, you want to make sure that you're, you know, if they have people that walk in that are interested in readings, that you're there to answer any questions that they have, you know, because you don't want to hide in the room and not be seen.
Mm.
Because the people want to meet the person that they're going to have a reading from. They want to feel a connection, and if they don't feel that connection, they won't book. So that's the kind of thing that I would suggest, is that you're actually pretty much be out in the space. So even though I say that you've got all the time in the world to sit there and do other stuff, you don't really. You really need to be in the space, addressing the clients as they come in the door, if it's something that they're asking about the reading session, if it's something you can do, you know, because each client has different specific things they want to do in a reading. So it depends if you actually specialize in that area. Like some people won't look at anything relating to children, like because they don't have their own kids, they don't get it. So they don't want to touch that. Do you know what I mean? Or they might not know anything about business, so they can't do a business reading because it just doesn't make sense to them. So you need to be able to answer those questions for the clients before they pay for their reading, because you don't want to take their money and give them a shitty reading because you don't know how to read in that space. Because that's not going to do either you or the shop any good. It's not. And ethically, it's not the right thing to do, right? When it comes down to
absolutely,
your ethics.
Absolutely agree.
It's not the right thing to do. So you need to make sure that you're working with the shop. Make sure that both of you get the return on your investment when it comes to that. table at a
I
fair.
Think there's another idea as well.
Oh, yeah. Ethics.
Just the time lag with the internet is terrible today.
When it comes to return on investment at a fair, you need to be putting it out there that you're at the fair. You need to let the people that like you and follow you on Facebook or any Instagram, whatever social media it is, you need to be telling them constantly, like every week on a lead up to the fair, that you're going to be there. And if they want a book, they can pre-book because some fairs will let them do that. If not, they can pre-book with you and you can let them know on the day, right? So either way, they can get their bookings in. You just kind of get them moving and keep reminding them that you're going to be there and that you're excited about it. And, that, you know, and you post in the event. If there's an event on Facebook, post in the event that you're going to be there. You know, don't just leave it all up to the organisers to share everyone's things. You know, go into the event. Let people know who you are before you actually get to the event. So that way they can, you know, when they turn up and go, oh, I remember that face, I'll book with her, right, or him or whoever it is, right? They're the kind of things that you need to be.
Exactly. I think it's understanding that, you know, if you want to dance, you need to ask the universe to dance with you. You can't just go, okay, I'm ready to dance and then do nothing else about it.
And then sit on your hands.
It's not just you declaring that, yes, exactly, I'm ready for paid readings now and, you know, expect the universe to just pile them on you. That won't happen that way because you need to match it with equal action, you know.
Yes.
Your action towards getting paid readings will be matched by the universe with the same energy. If you just, you know, sit there and waiting for people to turn up and no one turns up and then at the end of the day you just go, see, told you, no one wants a reading from me. That's really not how it should work. So I think I hear what you're saying, Kerry, is to the best way to ensure that you get a return on your money is to actually put the actions out, like follow through. Once you say, you know, I want to make money with this, then, do the actions that will make you money.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to online, online, you need an online platform. So whether it's a social media, Facebook page or Instagram or Zoom or Skype or something like that, you need some kind of online platform. If you are going to do online, I thoroughly recommend that you do a booking system so that because that's the hardest part to get payment when it's online is because it's the fiddliest. So at least if you have the booking system, it just takes all the fiddly bits out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's bits and pieces that you can do definitely to carry through with those actions. We'll talk about those things in a future show as well. But for now, we have to wrap it up for the day. It's almost 2 o'clock, and I know, Kerry, you've got a client coming in soon. So
yes.
I'm mindful of that. So where can people reach us? If you are on Facebook, and if you're watching this, you obviously are on Facebook, duh, Andrea. then my page is called Andrea Cowdy. What is it? Andrea and Holistic Content Strategist. Please don't send me a friend request. I will not accept it because that's my private profile for my private life. So Andrea Cowdy, Intuitive and Holistic Content Strategist. And if you want to contact Kerry directly, if you're not watching the live through her page right now, then you can reach her page through Kerry McGilvray Psychic Medium. And
we'll pop
the links in the comments. Yeah, definitely. So next week we'll be back at 12 p.m.
12 o'clock,
on Tuesday, as usual, with another topic. So the topic will be announced as well. So make sure that you hit that reminder button so you get a notification before we are about to go live so you don't miss it. So thank you all for watching, whether you're watching live or the replay. Thanks, everybody from all over the world. It was great to see people from all states of Australia as well as from different countries. That's awesome to be able to reach you know, other parts of the world like this. I think technology is just marvelous. So sure any is. Last words for today, Kerry?
Thank you all for coming. And we will see you next week. And yes. If you want to join us, yeah, if you want to join us on the in-person meetup, we'll pop that link below too. All right?
Yeah, definitely. I've just got to wrap this up. Awesome.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Yeah, any questions, just make sure you put them in the comments in the video. And we'll answer later. So, okay, I'm going to sign off now. Or we're going to sign off.